I'm very happy now to welcome to the program Ligia Cuevas. She is a photographer, and her photographs are in an exhibition called Vulnerable Dreamers, which is at El Museo Cultural here in Santa Fe, starting this Friday and running through the month of June. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much.
So this is a very sweet and beautiful and kind of interesting exhibition of your photographs of little Latino children here in the United States, children of immigrants. How did you come to this subject?
Well, as a background, I am a school teacher as well, and I do teach in Cincinnati Public Schools. I also taught in Boone County in Kentucky. So I was a teacher for English language learners, what we call ELL kids, or English as second language kids. This started hitting in my back, on my head, around living with them, teaching them, seeing the parents, seeing the backgrounds that they have, and how vulnerable they were at one point. And it became actually closer. The idea became kind of alive when one day one of the parents called me and said the father was being transferred to Mexico from Chicago. It was detained in Chicago and basically was about to be deported to Mexico. And it was the mother and obviously the three kids, one of them my students. It was going to be fatherless from one day to another. The father actually had a legal residency. It was not citizen, but he had a legal permit to work. Somehow he forgot his driver's license, was driving back home from Chicago from a construction work, and suddenly zigzagged a little bit and was detained because he didn't have his driver's license. He couldn't prove that he was legal citizen. He was immediately sent to detention, and it fell off from there. It turned out it was within 20 minutes of being deported. So have social workers and a lawyer managed to get in contact with the judge and clarify everything. And, you know, there's three kids involved, but it was too close, too personal at that time. And I'm like, you know, there was a problem. I'm like, wow. So I started thinking as an artist and as a photographer, I was like, okay, I would love to do something with photography and really represent these kids who my student was an American, born in the United States, English as his first language, and didn't know anything about Mexico or just related to their parents. But other than that, the kid was an American. I have seen since that day, I've been paying more attention to what's going on around. We have heard about more cases and start doing research about it. And then the idea just came alive. And one day we decided to start working on the project, which lasts probably about a year of really going after photographing the kids.
So are these children some of your students, or how did you find them?
Only a couple of them were my students. And the others were literally crush, every 15-year-old party, quinceañera there was around my neighborhood. I went to stores, asked permission to photograph them. I found them in the park. I found them in any other cities when traveling. I found them, and I asked permission, can I photograph you? And I found them in the grocery stores and the supermarkets, you know, and it's little by little, the collection started becoming a collection of beautiful photographs. And I think they all have this strong sense of dignity and honesty, and they're all very powerful, in my opinion. There's a sense of honesty on them that, and I believe a lot of people cannot see or don't want to see it.
Now, is that the quality? I mean, there's so many children. Are those the qualities that you were looking for in the children that you photographed, that honesty and dignity?
Actually, not necessarily. I was looking for, I was looking at the kids as they were in their local environment. And basically seeing just how they look. They were not, I was not trying to portray anything with them, but just to really capture how they look, how they're being perceived, but they're not a fabricated image like you see on TV and I say, okay, these are poor Latino kids, so they're kids who are not being attended or they're the minority group. I was trying to portray them as what they are because they are not the minority group. They are American citizens, which happen to be, to look Hispanic, and because that aspect, sometimes they are overlooked or they are treated like minority kids, but they're not.
So these children whom you photographed, there's little stories that you have with each one about your experience of photographing them, and you get such a sense of each child's personality, not only from the photograph, but from the little, it's almost like a poem or a little caption or story that you put with the pictures. And I wondered if there were any kind of favorite children or favorite little incidents that go along with the photographs.
Well, yes, actually they are. I'm so glad you mentioned that because obviously in the collection, you eventually as a photographer, you fall in love with one or two or three that become your favorite. And there's a photograph of two little kids. They're two girls' best friends. And one was very outgoing. The other one was a little bit more afraid. So they were holding hands, and the little girl, the one that was more outgoing, went and said, yes, I want to be photographed. Went and told the other girl, and said, you know, don't worry about it. Hold my hand. She's a very nice lady. And then when everything was happening, I said, okay, can you sit down over here? Just they said, don't worry about it. It's okay. Just smile at the camera. And then I was like, I photograph. It's just a moment when you say yes. And the whole conversation is there. It's just terrific. There's another one that is called, and by the way, the two girls are called Linda and Anna. And there's another one. This one, I guess, my favorite. It's the youngest kid in the collection. Her name is Linda. She basically couldn't hardly even speak. Basically, I asked her, and I said, can I take your photograph? She did not say anything. She just said, mm-hmm. But it was like an affirmation and mm-hmm. But the whole picture of her was very deep image on his eyes and look at me like deep, like, really, why are you looking at me? Why are you looking at me? I think that's one of my favorite ones. There's a kid who is extremely happy who lost his teeth. And the only thing is, they said, hey, look, I don't have teeth. So, no, I'm not kidding. I took a photograph. So it's just this energy that they have that is what I love about photographing them, that eventually it was not me, the photography expressing them, or making them alive in the photograph. It was them actually coming alive in the photograph.
We're talking to Ligia Cuevas about her exhibition Vulnerable Dreamers at El Museo Cultural. You decided not to give them their real names in the exhibition and not to note where they came from. Were you afraid that they would be vulnerable because of the exhibition?
I was a little bit concerned that the kids or their exposure could be trouble for the parents because some of the parents, they might or they might not be legal. So I didn't want to deal with the situation of getting them in trouble or making them expose, especially their family. I didn't want to even ask either. I assumed that there was a probability of the parent not be legal or be legal. However, when the parent can be illegal, because that's some of the cases that you deal with, especially in north part of United States, you see a lot of situations where the kid is American, born in the United States, the mother is a citizen, but the father might not be, which is, by the way, the case of one of the kids in the collection.
Right, and then that brings up the other part of the exhibition, which you have, as well as the little stories of the children, you have so many facts about immigration and Latinos in the United States. And one of the, I guess, really basic parts of what you're doing is exposing how important families are and what happens to children or what could happen to these beautiful children if one parent or the other were suddenly, or both, God forbid, were suddenly taken away from them.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's kind of tragic. And this exhibit I didn't want the exhibit to be a political message, because it's not. It's basically just making aware that the policies that we take or the government takes also affects the kids. And the sad thing is that nobody is speaking for the kids. The kids don't have voice, even though they are, so the majority of them, they have the legal rights of being Americans. They don't have any voices, because if they deport their parents, they get deported too, to a country that they don't know, to families that they don't know, and getting with no friends that they don't know. So and they don't have any voice. So the main idea was to give the kids a voice, and we're like, you know, we are here. They don't know that there is an immigration issue either. So suddenly, for no particular reason, they suddenly say, where's my dad? And they don't have anybody who can represent them into the government. They're like, I'm here, look at me. And they had to suffer the consequences of maybe a wrong decision from an adult. But, you know, and I think it is important for the government to not overlook what happened is like a change reaction, what would happen to the family, to the mothers, to the kids. And not only that, even to the aunts and the cousins. It's a change reaction that really affects a lot of people. And I think it's important for the government to really look at and think twice, or have some kind of mechanisms to deal with the situation.
In the various texts that you have about immigration, you point out, without doing it directly, but you point out the just ever-shifting sands of sentiment, pro and anti-immigrant, for example. The Bracero program provided all sorts of opportunities for Mexicans, and then 10 years later they were kicking them out through a draconian Operation Wetback program, and then there were work contracts and then there weren't, and basically the shifting tides of U.S. policy have to do with a lot of things, including public sentiment, including the labor market, but they seem somewhat arbitrary and not very fair either.
Exactly, yes. And it's a sad thing, because there is history that proves that having a work permit like the Bracero program really increased the economy at that time of California. So and I think for Mexico also was a good situation, because monies were coming back and forth. It was not just, okay, I come over here and the monies go back to Mexico and there is nothing here. And the wetback operation, that is something that is just a terrible thing. And when they had to deal with people who was jumping out of the boat, because it was worse to go back home than jumping out of the boat.
Yeah, you tell that story. They deported people. They put them on a ship, sent them to Veracruz, and people actually jumped off the boat and drowned. And then the people remaining on the boat mutinied, and there was a public outcry in Mexico, and they stopped doing it.
That is correct. That is correct. And the sad thing is, a lot of the people that they were deporting were actually citizens. they did not care. It was like having a quota to deport. The government have a quota of sending 1,000 immigrants back home with no particular reason. Okay, we just, if you are or you are not, it doesn't matter, you look like, you go. So it was like, it was like having a dog, that, like the dog that you don't want to have, and you take it to the next town far away, so he doesn't come back. And suddenly your dog jumps out of the truck because doesn't know what's going on, or it's worse than that. I think that was a terrible situation. And actually, more recently with Bush, when Bush was elected president, Vicente Fox, came twice to the United States to talk to Bush about the immigration program, and he actually suggested to have something like, it was like a work permit where the immigrants were going to be allowed to come to work with a permit that was going to cost, I don't know, $1,000. So there was going to be control of that person coming to work for 6 months, for 1 year, whatever it costs, and it was going to be taxable from the United States and taxable in Mexico. But at that time, November 11 came in and everything was distracted, so nothing came up out of that conversation. But the conversations were already started with a work permit, but they never materialized. And at that time, well, President Calderon finished his sexenio in Mexico, and that was the end of that program. At least of the talking program.
This exhibition, I think if people see it, would inevitably have the effect of challenging whatever prejudices people might be carrying around with them, because the children are just so lovely and so full of character. Where are you going to be showing this? It's going to be here at El Museo Cultural in Santa Fe. Is this also a traveling exhibition?
Yes, we are thinking in the next show will be at the National Museum of Mexican Art in Chicago. The main idea is to continue the exhibit with as many museums as possible. And thanks to Maria, the curator at the museum in Santa Fe, this can eventually kick out and be tremendously successful, and also with your help.
Well, it's a lovely, beautiful exhibition called Vulnerable Dreamers. It opens this coming Friday at El Museo Cultural and is up pretty much from now until the end of June. Photographer Ligia Cuevas, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.